I'm really glad to be here. I had so much fun with the women's conference or retreat that happened over the weekend. That was so cool. Yeah. You women who are here, you are great people, and I really enjoyed the ones I got to meet. So it was super fun. Thank you for having me do that. I have two boys who are 40 years old. They're twins, and they're both married. I have three grandkids, 12, 8, and 10 months old. And we live in California in the city called San Luis Obispo, and it's halfway between LA and San Francisco. My hobby is roasting green coffee beans in my home so that I have fresh coffee to drink in the morning. And we live in a wine country. It's a new wine country in the last probably 10 or 15 years. And I really enjoy learning about the wine country, the culture of the wine country and the different kinds of wine. And wherever I go, if I'm in a grocery store, I'm always looking. Well, if you sell it in grocery stores, I don't know. No. Okay. We didn't in Colorado either, but they do in California. If I'm in a liquor store, I always like to look and see, does this city sell wine from our wine country? And anyway, it's a fun little hobby. So that's some of the things I like to do. So today I'm going to talk to you this morning about living with tension. And sometimes, yeah, it's not a fun thing to do, but there are good kinds of tension. There's the tension of cello strings that are tightly wound up that the musician can play a beautiful melody. Couldn't do it if there wasn't any tension in those strings. Or there's tension of a story that has a really great plot and you want to get to the end of the book to see how it turns out. That's a fun kind of tension. Or there's tension in ropes that hold a bridge taut across the river that keeps cars to be able to go to and from across the river. That's another good tension. But not all tension is good. There's a rough kind of tension in life too. The tension that makes you feel uncomfortable, the tension that makes you feel out of control, the tension that you want to get out of there and not have to be under it anymore. Well, that's more the kind of tension that I'm going to share about today, because good things happen when you experience tension. And, you know, one of the good things that happens is you get to know God better. Another thing that happens is he causes you to grow, and growth is a really good thing. I highly recommend it. I've gone through some, you know, I'm an older person in life now, and I have some life history behind me. And I've gone through some seasons in life where I've learned new things because I've gone through some tension. And one of the things that I went through that I learned is that, let me remind myself what they were. Okay. I felt like God was talking to me in a period of time in my life about trusting him and deciding I was going to obey him without even knowing what he was going to ask me. And I decided to step out and do that. And when I did step out and do that, I got the opportunity to attend a conference in Singapore, which I never dreamed I'd ever do anything like this, with 2,000 people from 92 nations. And it was all, and that was a growth experience for me to trust God. And then it was a growth experience to even go to that conference in another country. But it was a wonderful adventure because I lived through the tension and I grew through it. Another tension that I grew up in a family where we weren't very generous people. I really hate to admit it. But it's true. And so I consequently didn't grow up naturally having a bent toward being generous. And I decided to go through, God challenged me to go through a time where I was going to give something away. I got an unexpected check, money for a book that I contributed to about kids ministry. And it was $700. And I thought, I'm not going to spend any of it on myself. I'm going to give it all away. I'm going to see what God does. So I did. I gave it all away. I spent it all. And it wasn't within like 2 or 3 weeks. We got a check in the mail from some good friends of ours for $3,000. And they said, we think you need to go on a vacation. I'm like, wow, God, is this a coincidence? I just gave away this $700 and now you send me money to go away on a vacation? I kind of think it was God. Growing is a good thing. And another growth situation. I've been trying to hear God's voice in my life. And when we gave up our church, well, when we turned it over to another pastor, we transitioned out. some people thought we retired, but we're still serving God, so we haven't retired yet. But when we did that, I went through a really hard time giving up ministry. And I shared this with the women, I felt like I was disoriented all the time, and I was for a season. And I felt like I was falling, and then God let me know that, yeah, you feel like you're falling, but I'm falling with you, and you're going to land in a good place. And that's when we ended up in California, and it's been such a good thing for us to be there. And I know it's God's will, and so I worked through that tension. So growth is a good thing is all I'm trying to say. So I'm going to talk about three different kinds of tensions. And the first one is the tension of disillusionment, that what's going on in your life isn't exactly how you would picture your life to be. Have you ever been in that spot where you think, I never dreamed I'd be in this situation? Because sometimes life just doesn't turn out how you think it should. And a great story from the Bible is about the story of Samson. Samson is one of the heroes of our faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to talk not really about Samson, but about his parents. We know his dad's name was Manoah, and we don't even know his mom's name. But they had an angel come to them and tell them they were going to have a son, a baby. And they told him like how to take care of him. They gave him specific rules and ways to live that would show that his life was consecrated to God. And then the angel told him what his purpose was, that he was going to begin to restore their freedom back from the Philistines that were oppressing them, because they were in the land that God had given them, and the Philistines were just very harsh and controlling of them. And so he was going to be the one who brought freedom. And so I think as parents, they're like, woohoo, like we're going to have this baby and we know what to do, and he's going to be somebody who's really important in our country. But as he grew up, they raised him the way that the angel told him to raise him. And as he grew up, it didn't quite look like I'm sure they thought it would be. The first thing was he wanted to marry a Philistine girl. And I'm sure they're thinking, well, this can't be right. How could this be part of God's plan for his life? And they tried to discourage him, but he still moved ahead in that because it was part of God's plan for his life. The wife situation didn't quite work out, but he did go that route. And then he ended up being he was strong. He was super strong because that was part of the consecration that God blessed him with strength because he didn't cut his hair. And he ended up being like this one man Rambo warrior. And I'm sure that when they thought he was going to lead their country into freedom, they thought he would be a commander of an army and he'd have a troop of people who would go out and fight. But instead, God used him all by himself with his mighty strength to fight the enemy. Several different situations came up and he fought hundreds of people all by himself. And I'm sure they're thinking, that's not what we wanted for our son to have to be a one-man warrior. I mean, looking at his mom, I would be sad that my son had to be out there fighting the enemy all by himself. He was a judge of the nation, and that was probably really good for them. Or who knows, it could have been a horrible job. But then he took another turn going down a path. He got lured back into the girl scene in the Philistines, and he ended up with a girlfriend, Delilah, who was manipulated him to find out the source of his strength and got his hair cut off. And he ended up being captured by the Philistines, shackled and put to work grinding, pulling wheat. I don't know how that he did it, but they put him to work in the prison and he was left there. Now, can you imagine being his parents? How sad. You think, we did everything right, God. We raised him how you told us, and look at his life. But he turned back to God at the end of his life. When they brought him out, the Philistines brought him out to make fun of God and to show how they were stronger. And his heart turned to God and he said, God, God, come, give me strength one more time. He turned his heart back to him and he ended up, you know, this is the Bible, it's Old Testament, I don't understand this, but he ended up killing all these people, and that was a good thing. And he killed more people at the end of his life than he did fighting them at the beginning of it, all throughout his life. God was faithful. God was good. And then he gets listed in Hebrews, whoever wrote Hebrews, we're not quite sure, but could have been Paul, as one of the heroes of faith. And the Bible says, By faith, these people, and they listed Samuel as one of them, overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Who would have thought? But I'm sure that those parents were thinking, why is this going on in my life? And they had to experience God in the tension. But in the end, he got it. God got it done with Samson. He got what he wanted with his life, and Samson's heart turned back to him. And so I just want to say, if you feel like, well, I can relate to Samson because my parents think that my life's not looking like they think it should, that God will get it done with your life. He will get you on the right path. And you parents who have kids that you think that's not going, God can get it done. It's never over till it's over. And God's promises come true. What he says will happen. So just wanted to encourage you parents with that. Another tension in life can be a tension of an unfulfilled promise. Do you feel like God has given you a promise that something's going to happen and you haven't seen it happen yet? Well, Sarah, who was married to Abraham, lived in that situation. You know, Abraham was called to leave his family home and go and to the land that God, the promised land that God wanted to give the Israelite people. And when he was wandering around and obeying God and doing that, God gave him a promise that as many as the sands of the shore, the stars in the sky, those are going to be his inheritance, that he's going to be the father of a nation. And his wife couldn't have kids. And God gave that promise when she was 65 years old. Now, Bible people lived a lot longer. Maybe 65 isn't like 65 today, but she was pretty old. And he was even 10 years older than her. But God gave that promise. And for years, she didn't have any children. And it was, let's see if I wrote down how many years it was. Yeah, 10 years. She didn't have any kids. And God gave the promise that, yes, this is going to, he came back to Abraham and said, don't give in to fear. You are going to be the father of a nation. So she couldn't live in the tension anymore that she wasn't getting pregnant. And she decided to take her servant girl and give her to her husband to be a second wife so that he could have a child through her. That wasn't a good idea. You don't ever try to rush Aunt God's plan and solve problems for him. Just take note, that was not a good plan. And so it created a lot of tension in the home when she got pregnant. At one point, she wanted her to leave, but God kept her there. And so for 13 years, they lived with this child growing up in the home that probably she thought that was the promised child. And Abraham probably thought that was the promised child, but it wasn't the promised child that God had said. God wanted to have Abraham have a child through Sarah. And so 13 years later, God comes back and says, it's going to be through Sarah that you have a child that is the promised child. And he was so kind because he said, within the next year, she will have a baby. God kept his promise. She had a baby when she was 90 years old. Isn't that? As women, we think, is that really that wonderful? No. But, you know, in Bible years might have been different. They 90 was 50. But God did it. He got it done. He got the promise done because he keeps his promises. But living in that tension, our takeaway from that is don't try to solve the problem yourself because that only makes the situation worse. And I think I think she even delayed the promise from coming because God values kids. And Ishmael's life was valuable to him. He also became the father of the Arab nation. But he gave Ishmael that childhood time, those first 13 years of his life, where he was the promised child for his dad. And then the baby came along. So anyway, so here's a lesson from our Draw the Circle. I heard you guys are going through 40 days of prayer, and I've been trying to do that with you. I got a little messed up since I've been here. I haven't been doing it, but I was doing it up until then. And in the Draw the Circle, I read that Mark Batterson wrote, Don't try to manufacture your own miracles. Don't try to answer your own prayers. I figured out that it's best not to do God's job for him. Stay humble, stay focused, stay patient, wait for God. And then the last tension that sometimes we live in is the tension of just plain unanswered prayer. And, you know, I told you I have twin boys that are 40, and one of my sons, he called me several years ago, probably two or three years ago, and he said, "Mom, I'm praying for God to do three things in my life, and I don't know if he's going to do any of them. If he would do just one, I think I'd be happy." And I tried to give him the pep talk that God hears you, God answers, God is for you, and I'll be praying with you. And so we started praying. His three things was he wanted to move from a condo into a house. He wanted a different job, and he wanted a baby. So within the first year, he sold his condo and moved into a house. And I was really encouraged. And I'm like, yay, that's God. Remember, I told you God to do this. This is great. Keep praying. I know he'll do the other two things too. And then within the next year, he got a new job. And I'm like, wow, we're on a roll. And then God did that. Keep praying. And then it went by a year and another year. I don't know if we're into like 3 years now, but no baby. He's getting older. His wife's getting older. It's like, is God going to answer that prayer? I don't know, but I'm still praying. And I still know that maybe God won't answer it exactly the way that he wants it, but I feel like there's a child out there for them. And so I'm still praying, but I don't know how God's going to answer it. I don't know, but we're praying. And Luke 18:1 says, keep praying and never give up. And Jesus said that and then told a story about a woman who wanted justice in her life for a situation that happened to her. And I kind of feel like God created people to be fruitful and multiply. And I kind of feel like it's a justice issue for Jeff. Like, that's what you said, God, that people were supposed to have kids. How do you want to fulfill this promise for them? And what is it going to look like? Maybe it's not going to look like they have their own baby, but maybe there is a child that they can influence their life. And so she asked the judge to give her justice, and he ignored her and ignored her and ignored her. And she went over and over again. And finally, he gave in just because he was tired of hearing her come to him for justice. And then Jesus said that guy didn't even love that woman. God loves us, and he wants to answer our prayers. And so the point is, don't ever give up, because God answers all prayers. He may not answer them the way we think he will, but he does answer them. And in praying is just really important. So in our world, I have a group of friends. We've been praying for situations like my son Jeff, but for other people too. We've been praying for a lot of our friends who have cancer. We've been praying for my one friend's mom who has COPD. We've been praying for all sorts of, and for two women to have babies, not just my daughter-in-law. And we haven't been seeing any answers for a long time. And then just right before I came here, the mom with COPD, her oxygen level, she went to the doctor, was not at 19% a year ago, and now it's at 40%. And the doctor is baffled. How could it go up that high? And I'm like, oh, we're starting to see answers to our prayers. That's so great. And then one of the ladies that we're praying for that has cancer, her husband said she was getting stronger. So we think, keep praying. So keep praying. That's that story. So how else do we live in the midst of tension? One is we realize that tension makes us resilient. It makes us not like, don't give up. Don't believe the lies. Don't quit trying. It's an opportunity for growth. Hebrews 12:11-12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. You know, discipline, sometimes I have always thought of discipline as being in trouble. But discipline is training. it's not a bad word, it's a good word, that God trains us. And it is painful sometimes, but it produces good things in our lives. So how do we strengthen our feeble arms and our weak knees? Well, like we don't do what Sarah did. We don't run away from our problems. That we turn to God. That we trust God. And we don't have to know all the answers. But we know that God is good. And that he does answer our prayers. And my hardest growth experience I think I went through in my life was when I was 20 years old. My mom was diagnosed with ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a type of sclerosis. And we didn't know anything about the disease. It wasn't as popular in people talking about it as it is today. Today you hear things about it, but we didn't know anything about it. But it's where you lose your muscle tone. And so it started in her hands and her arms, and then she couldn't walk, and she was bedridden and couldn't. Your brain is totally fine, but your body starts losing all of its control. And I took care of her with my dad. We took turns at nighttime sleeping with her so that we could get every other night we could sleep. And I had a little sister at home that was 12. And I really, really believed that God could heal her. And so I prayed as hard as I could. And then I felt guilty that I wasn't praying hard enough because we weren't seeing it. And anyway, it didn't look like God was healing her at all. But I knew he could. I didn't know if he would, but I knew he could. So I kept asking. But God, during that hard time, did some really good things in my life. He like would come and just pour out peace on me when I was feeling really stressful. Like, just like a wave, it'd wash over me. He was, he gave me strength to do things that I didn't think I could do. Just in taking care of my mom and just seeing the pain of seeing her body deteriorate was really hard. But he was just so good with the strength. And he comforted me when it was hard. When I'd feel really guilty, like, if I was praying more, God, would you heal her? Is it because I'm not praying enough? He just comforted me. And then a couple of years after, so she was sick for about 9 months, and then she passed away. And then a couple of years afterwards, I kind of, this fear came on me like, oh, God, you were good to me that time, but don't ever let me go through such a hard experience like that ever again in my life, because I just can't handle it. And I had this fear like God was going to make me go through another hard time, and I just didn't want that to happen. And I had some girlfriends pray for me, and God just overwhelmed me with a sense of love that through the whole thing, I was wrapped in love. And all of it, I don't understand why she had to die at 42. I don't know. But it was God's love was all meshed in that whole thing. And it was really okay. And he walked us through it. He took care of us. And it was just okay. It was okay. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I don't have to know why. It was okay. And, you know, I had to also learn to lay down my control too, though, in my life, because when I found out she was sick and we didn't know what exactly was wrong with her, I remember telling God, I can handle it if my dad died. Is that a horrible thing to say? But I wasn't as close to him as I was to my mom. But you can't let my mom die. You can let my dad die if I have to lose a parent, but you can't lose I can't lose my mom. But he knew that I needed a good relationship with my dad, and my relationship with my dad blossomed and grew because we went through that really hard time together. And I just knew, got to know my loving father in my life. It was just really cool how he did that, even though I wouldn't have chosen that, but God knew I needed my dad to be alive, and that was okay for my mom to go to heaven, and I'll see her again someday. So what? Now what? Well, I know the Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if you're, and you know what, it's part of life. When you experience tension, I'm not going to say if you, because you do. We all experience tension. Don't fight it. Lean into it. Because the stretching and the tugging, the pulling and the discomfort comes with knowing Jesus better and knowing how much God loves you, and we get to know ourselves better. And it comes with discovering the goodness of God. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But it does. It's God is good. Life is rough, but God is good, and he brings good things out of it. And he can do much more than we can imagine, think, or imagine because of his love, his power, and his wisdom, and his care for us. So maybe you are in a situation today where you have tension in your life. Maybe you have an unfulfilled promise. Maybe you have a prayer that hasn't been answered. Maybe you are disillusioned with where you're at in life. God wants to meet you here today. And all you have to do is reach out to him and say, hey, God, I need help. And he loves prayers like that. He runs to answer those prayers because he is for you and he loves you. And he wants to work beautiful things in your life, that he created you with a plan and purpose before you were ever born. And he brings those beautiful things into our lives through the hard times that we go through. So why don't you stand up and I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here this morning. And God, you see each of our hearts and you know where we're at. And you know what we need from you. And God, I just ask that your Spirit would come. And that you would go to those places where we feel out of control or insecure. Or we have questions, or maybe even feel disoriented and like we're falling. And God, I ask that you would meet us there. That your presence changes everything in our lives. So God, I just ask for your presence now.